Bikurim Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Beis 3:12. It's very possible this is not only the last Mishnah of the Perek, but in fact originally the last Mishnah of the whole Masechta, which would make it the last Mishnah of all of Seder Zeroyim. And there is one more Perek to go, but that was probably appended later on, as I'll discuss a little later on in the next recording for the next Mishnah. In any case, over here, and we're going to wrap up things. You'll recall back in the second Perek, we had said explicitly that the Bikurim are Kenichsei Kohen. They're like the Kohen's property. You'll also recall back from the second parak, we had said that in some ways Bikurim are like Maaser Sheni. Some ways they're comparable to Truma, and we've seen already they're also in some ways comparable to Kadshei Mikdash. That is to say, some ways are like Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni had restrictions. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there and only use it if you're going to redeem it. You can only use it on foodstuffs. With the money on foodstuffs, it was restricted, and it wasn't even your own property. It was a machlokas and I, but it was very possibly, and we pass in this way, it's mamon gavoa, it's so to speak, God's maaser sheni, and you're eating at his table. As for truma, truma has all sorts of restrictions, but it does belong to the kohen, and the difference when it comes to truma, you'll recall, is that you get to choose which kohen you want to give it to. In contrast, kadshei mikdash, things that are brought to the temple as a gift, like a shlamim offering, for example, that's divided equally amongst the Kohanim, and they split amongst themselves. You don't get to choose who you give it to, and also it's not really theirs to do with what they want. It's got restrictions on it because it's got to be eaten over there by the Kohanim, etc. So here the Mishnah will discuss how Bikurim fits in with those different halachas, because Bikurim could be comparable to all three of those things. Here the Mishnah says, Lama amru habikurim kenichsei kohen. Why is it, or what do they mean, when back in the second parak Mishnah Aleph, they said that bikurim are like the kohen's property? So the Mishnah answers, Shehu kohenim mehem avadim v'karkos ubehema tameya. First of all, because a kohen who gets his bikurim can do with it what he wants. That is to say, he could sell it or barter it for things like examples given in the Mishnah here are avadim, slaves, karkaos, land, behema tamea, not kosher animals. This is all in contrast to maaser sheni, which you recall, you're not allowed to, even the money of maaser sheni can't be used to purchase things other than foodstuffs. You couldn't buy a slave or land or not kosher animal with your maaser sheni money. When it comes to bikurim, they really, the fruits that are brought that the Kohen gets, they're his. He can do what he wants with them, and therefore he could sell them and use the proceeds to get whatever he wants, or could barter them directly to buy a slave, etc. That's all his prerogative. It's his. Now let me just clarify, as we'll speak out in a minute, perhaps inside the text, the Bikurim are restricted. That is to say, when the Kohen gets them, or if you transfer them to another person through barter, let's say, he trades them, so the Bikurim remain Bikurim, therefore they have all the restrictions that they always had, meaning it has to only be eaten by a Kohen, Bitahara, etc. So we're just saying that the Kohen who receives the Bikurim can do what he wants with them, meaning he can somehow trade them or monetize them, but that doesn't redeem or remove the Kedusha from the Bikurim. The purchaser also ends up having to be a Kohen who consumes them, etc. Okay? The Mishnah continues and says, not only are they his with respect to being sort of an asset he can do what he wants with, also with respect to his liabilities. Ubal chov notlin b'chovo, v'isha b'ksuvasa. If the Kohen who has the Bikurim owes somebody else, so the creditor to the Kohen is called his bal chov, so the bal chov could collect his debt by confiscating the Bikurim that's in the hands of the Kohen. So simple case, if Kohen A lends money to Kohen B, and Kohen B now gets Bikurim, and Kohen B hasn't paid back Kohen A could actually just take, like a Baal Chov with other kinds of property, he could take the Bikurim from the Kohen to lend money to sort of reclaim his due. Same goes for an Isha, a woman. If a woman has a outstanding Ksuba that needs to be paid, so she can collect her Ksuba, or part of her Ksuba, from the fruit that a Kohen receives as Bikurim. Again, she may not be able to eat it, but she could sell it to another Kohen who could eat it, etc. The same as, you know, how a Kohen could eat Truma, elsewhere, so the Kohen could eat the Bikurim like that. when it comes to the woman collecting on her ksuba, it's actually machlokas tanaim if a woman ever collects from metaltlin, from chattels, movable objects. But this mishnah is going like Rav Meir that indeed she does and she can. And also, now, k'sefer Torah or v'sefer Torah, there's two gersos here. And also on the list with the Baal Chov and the ksuba, perhaps, is the sefer Torah. Now, Bartner brings a couple of pshatim. The first pshat he gives is that it's that on the list of things that a Baal Chov can, a creditor or a woman can claim, she can also claim, the creditor or the woman can claim a sefer Torah from the person who owes the money. A second pshat is that the same way you're allowed to, it's like on the list, the same way you're allowed to use your bikurim to purchase other things like not kosher animals and land and slaves, you can also use it to purchase a sefer Torah. That's a chiddush because sefer Torah are quite restricted. You can't sort of resell them, you can't use their money for things. So in contrast to Maaser Sheni, which perhaps this whole string of things is going in contrast to, which you could not, Maaser Sheni, not only can you not sell and use the proceeds or anything besides for foodstuffs, this is even more difficult because you can't even pay the wages of the person who's providing the foodstuffs, etc., with the Sefer Torah. Worth noting that the Baal Chov and the Isha could not collect Maaser Sheni if they owed money, because since it's Mamon Gavoa, it's not the owner of the Maaser Sheni, the individual who could, he's not really the owner. The real owner of the Maaser Sheni is Gavoa, is Hashem, so to speak. And that being the case, a creditor could never collect the Maaser Sheni. So again, in contrast here. So we have two pshatim again. If it's like a Sefer Torah, either that you could, yes, buy a Sefer Torah, or that the Sefer Torah could be collected as part of, from a creditor, whether it's a lender or a wife, an ex-wife. There's another pshat here, which brings, some learn that this is bringing out the pshat that I said before, that the same way a Sefer Torah, when you trade the Sefer Torah to somebody else, the Sefer Torah retains its Kedusha. So too, the Bikurim, when you trade it to somebody else, retains its Kedusha. It stays, meaning, as opposed to, again, like Maaser Sheni. Now, Rebbe, we continue. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, or Rebbe Yehuda Omer without the Vav, A nostin osam el lechaver betova. He says really two things. He says you can't give the bikurim to anyone except for a chaver. Now, according to Bartanura, we're referring to the kohen who receives the bikurim. We're restricting to whom he may give the bikurim, like say barter it, like we said in the first part of the Mishnah. So, the according to the Hapshah, like the Bartanura, what we're saying is that if you're going to sell your bikurim or trade it away, that's fine, but the recipient must be a chaver, someone who eats his chulin but tahara, someone who always eats his food in a state of tahara, even not kadshim or truma. That's what's called the chaver. The thought is that since the bikurim aren't really korbanos, they're kind of just like korbanos, so people may not be, kohanim may not be so strict in keeping them tahor. That is to say, when it comes to Kohanim receiving portions from real sacrificial materials, like a mincha or something, we're not afraid that the Kohen being an Am Haaretz is going to make it tamei. No, we trust every Kohen to eat it properly because he recognizes the weight of kachim that goes in the mizbech. But this, that goes in the altar. But here, this is not really kachim mizbech. This is something that's just put down next to the altar, and then the Kohanim eat it. So the concern is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen who receives these, if a Kohen gets these fruits and then gives it to another Kohen, that second Kohen might not be a chaver, and that being the case, he might not be careful and keep the bikurim betahara as he needs to. Okay, the second thing is it says betova. Now, betova would mean, according to that, tova means like as a gift for the goodwill, something like that. Meaning that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen who transfers the bikurim he received to a second Kohen cannot do it for money. He can't barter it away to buy avadim and karkos, etc. He can only give it as a gift to his fellow Kohen, even if there's some reciprocity now required. In other words, the Kohen who receives it knows he owes one, whatever quote-unquote one is, he owes something to the other Kohen, but it's not being sold. Okay, so that's the two things that Rabbi Yehuda is saying. There are those who learn that we're actually talking about Rabbi Yehuda saying that no, when you he's thinking about the recipients of the Bikurim, the original from the farmers, from the Bialim. And he's saying that when you, the farmer, the Bialim, bring your Bikurim, first fruits, to Yerushalayim, you get to choose which kohen you give it to. The same way in Kadshei Gvul, when it comes to Challah and Trumas Meiser, etc., you can choose which kohen you're going to give it to. According to this chart over here, we're saying that you could, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you get to choose which kohen you're going to give it to in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're saying, although you can choose who you give it to, you have to choose giving it to a kohen who's a chaver, okay? And that kohen who's a chaver will then be relied upon to eat at Batar. You can't rely on a Amha'aretz kohen to be your recipient of your Bikurim gift, because even though you're giving it to him in the Beis HaMikdash, and there it's, you know, there's obviously the weight of the Beis HaMikdash present, but since it's not really a korban, we're afraid he won't be so careful with it and might make a tummy, etc. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, according to the second approach here. And it's given betova, it's given not for money, but as a favor, and the same way that one gives, you know, trumas and chal, etc. Now, the chachamim, Omer, the chachamim disagree, and they say that that bikurim is like any other gift brought to the Beis HaMikdash as an offering. Nos nosam la'anshe mishpar, you just give it to the people on duty. Anshe mishpar means the kohanim, who are one of the 24 groups that's there for this particular week. And when they're serving Beis HaMikdash, you give it to them collectively. V'hem mechalkim b'nehem. And they divide it amongst themselves, meaning you're not choosing which kohen to give it to. They all get it. They are not deciding who are chaverim and who not. Everyone gets it equally. Kekadshe HaMikdash, the same way as any kadshe HaMikdash, anything else, like a shlam or something which is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, they divide it amongst themselves equally. And we trust them all, even though they're not chaverim necessarily, they're all trusted to eat it betara. And that is the halach, like the chachamim, that indeed it goes to all the kohanim equally, and they can do with it as they see fit, in terms of eating it, or like the Tanakama, you know, bartering it, etc., to other kohanim, because it's their money once they get it, it's their assets, their property. And with that, we finish the third perek, and we will start now the fourth perek, Bez Hashem, which, as I explained, may be some appended on Bryce's and standalone.